Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, hey, so welcome back to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a space and platform of intentional healing, joy, rest, abundance, et cetera, for Black women. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode. I'm also recording this for YouTube as well. So this will be released on YouTube in a few weeks. The channel I did finally start, you can find it at Brown Girl Self Care on YouTube. I will be uploading videos regularly. I have one video up already, but just want to let you know in case it sounds a little weird, it's because I'll also be kind of like, I'm trying to make this for YouTube. Listen, I'm trying to work smart. Record once, upload into different places. Okay. So that's basically the gist of this. So just wanted to make that disclaimer. All right. So if this is your first time listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast, I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome. And if you've been listening for a while, a minute, a few weeks, few months, few years, whatever, I'm so glad that you're back, sis. Welcome, welcome. All right. All that out of the way. Okay. So today I want to talk about my intermittent fasting journey. I might have talked about this on the podcast maybe a few years ago, but I don't exactly recall when I said what I said, how I said it, since it was probably some time ago. And I feel like this is a conversation, because health is so important to me, I feel like this is a conversation that can definitely be had more than just one time. We talk about everything else on the show. Health is definitely a part of that, and eating, and for me, like my weight and different things like that. So I want to talk about that today. I want to give you the who, what, why, how, when, where, like as many different details as I possibly can, in the hopes of just giving you a little bit of information in case you find it helpful. So in case you've never heard of intermittent fasting, in case you've been kind of thinking about it, in case you're currently doing it, and you just want some encouragement, or just kind of like want to compare like how you're doing it. Not that how I'm doing it is like gospel. I'm just letting you know. But sometimes it just helps to hear from a different perspective if you're on a similar journey. Okay. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, as well as I'll tell you some of the positives of intermittent fasting that I've experienced so far, or, you know, as I've done this, because this is not my first time to this rodeo. But also there has been one, God, I don't want to label it as negative, but man, there is definitely something that I want to share in regards to intermittent fasting, because sometimes stuff gets really real. So I'm looking at my notes here. I want to make sure that I don't miss anything that I came to talk about. I find that I do that a lot. So I want to make sure that I try to just look at my notes instead of going off the rails. So let's go ahead and get into today's episode. So first things first, what is intermittent fasting? In a nutshell, that's a tongue twister. Maybe if I slow down. Intermittent fasting is basically just eating on a schedule. It's like on a specific like timeline. You're eating during a specific window of time, and it's all very personal. How can I explain this? So there's different ways you can do intermittent fasting, obviously, and I'll tell you more about how I do it. But one thing that I want to mention is that some people choose to kind of do this it's called OMAD, or one meal a day. And that's basically just what it sounds like. You eat one meal a day, and it's a specific amount of calories. Typically, some people don't really care about the calories. They just feel like because they're eating in this one meal, they're not really going to worry about the calories. Your mileage may vary, but I don't do, when I do intermittent fasting, my window, okay, my eating window is typically from, depending on the day, I try to do between either 2 to 6 or 3 to 7 when I am doing intermittent fasting. Now, depending on the day and my schedule, it might, like, I try to be flexible if I need to, because I don't want to be so rigid that it feels like this is completely impossible, okay? And feeling like, oh, I screwed up. And, like, I don't want this to become like this way of eating where I turn it into something that's really extreme and to where it becomes like disordered eating, if that makes sense. Okay, so I have to be very mindful of that, because sometimes I will just be very rigid and like, oh, you should have done it like this and this and this. Like, it's like, anyway, I just try not to have this view of it needs to be perfect in order for it to be valid, if that makes sense. So, yeah, but generally speaking, about 3 to 7, 2 to 6, somewhere in there. Some people do longer windows. Some people do shorter windows. So for example, you might have, so my window is called a 24 window, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So in other words, you're not eating for 20 hours, but you're eating for 4 hours out of the day. So you know how a day has 24 hours in it. That's where the 24 comes in. So the 20 is 20 hours of not eating, and then 4 hours of eating. Some people like to do a 16-8 variation. So 16 hours of fasting slash not eating, and then 8 hours of eating. And there's, like I said, you can really do whatever makes sense for you, or just do the one meal a day, pick a time that makes sense for you, and just go at it that way. I choose to do intermittent fasting with the 20/4 window, because there's no way that I would be able to eat one meal a day and get enough calories slash like nutrition into my body. Some people are very successful at it. They can eat these really elaborate meals and they're touching on all the food, like food choices. And for example, some people like they'll have like a really big steak and broccoli and vegetables or salad and, you know, sometimes like even like a little slice of cheesecake, like different things. And they can eat that at one time. For whatever reason, I just am not able to do that. That's just not the way my body is set up. So for me, a comfortable window is 20 hours off and approximately four hours of eating, because that way it gives me time to have that initial whatever it is I want to eat. And then if an hour later or, you know, 2 hours later, I'm still hungry, or it's like, oh, I really want some more of this. I have room to have that. So that is what works for me. Keep in mind that intermittent fasting is not one size fits all. Like our bodies are not all the same, right? So why would this work for every single person, or why would we all have the same mindset? Now, what I will say is I feel like intermittent fasting makes sense for me, because back in the day, like way back in the day, based on what I understand, our ancestors were not eating six times a day, like three breakfast, lunch, dinner, few snacks in between. Like, I don't believe that that is what they were doing hundreds and thousands of years ago. But obviously, we're in a different time now. Things are different. Foods are different. Our lifestyles are different. We're not going out there. Oh, I don't think you're going out there hunting for your food in that way. You know what I mean? So obviously things are different now. Like everything is just drastically different. So I can't sit up here and say that, because again, like I just said a few moments ago, like everybody is different. Like literally everybody is different. So I can't sit up here and say that this is the only way to be healthy. I can only say that
this is what is working for me right now in this season. Because yeah, just about everything is different. So intermittent fasting works for me, and I want to share that with you. But I want you to keep in mind, like, this is not what I'm sharing with you is not like medical advice. I'm not telling you, sis, go and do this right now. This is the way. This is the only way, the truth and the light. That is not what I'm saying at all. Again, I'm just sharing what works for me. This is not medical advice. I'm not an expert in any capacity. I'm only an expert in my body and what works for me, and just sharing that with you. But yeah, so like, again, just saying like eating 6 times a day is better, or keto is better, or veganism is better, or whatever. Like, I'm not here to tell you all that, okay? So be sure to talk to a professional if you want to learn more, because they can do like, and a trusted professional. All these people out here in these streets, they are not trusted professionals. I'm sorry. A lot of doctors, or I shouldn't say a lot, I'm generalizing, but I've come across doctors that want just to push medication. We know that prescription drugs are like a huge, huge, like money-making business. The medical industry is a huge money-making business, obviously. So it makes more sense for people to be sick than to be well. That's how I feel. I'm not saying that that's all doctors, but you got to find someone that really has, the people's best interest at heart, versus just looking for ways to just prescribe this medicine to every single patient, no matter what, because there's going to be more money in their pocket to push certain drugs. I'm not against drugs. I'm not against subscriptions. Prescriptions, obviously, that is definitely a tool. We all need tools, okay? Different tools for different people when it comes to like the healthcare game. But how about this? Just because a doctor prescribes it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way for you. I'm not saying that it's not, but it's always okay to just kind of like do a little research, maybe get a second opinion from a different doctor, you know, that kind of thing when it comes to like new medications and just, you know, stuff like that. It's okay for you to be an advocate for your health and to not always necessarily agree with the first thing that you're told. Again, I'm not saying that it's wrong what you're being told, but it's okay to question it and to explore and just make sure that you understand all of your options, okay? All right, so back to intermittent fasting. So why did I start? I'm sitting on my leg. So I started intermittent fasting. Honestly, I'm like I mentioned before, I'm not new to intermittent fasting. I couldn't sit here and tell you exactly when I heard of the term, but if I had to, I would guess that I started or became familiar with intermittent fasting, gosh, it's been at least 5 years. I want to say, I'll just say a five to 10 year window is when I became aware of intermittent fasting and really, you know, learned about it and tried it, etc. So somewhere in a 5 to 10 year window is probably where I started kind of like getting serious about it. And this go round, I started back in like, I believe it was maybe like the first week of February, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere in there is when I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get back on this intermittent fasting. And I'll give you reasons why in just a moment, but that is probably when I started. It's been maybe about 8 weeks, I would say. Maybe 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere in there, I'm guessing, as of me recording this episode. So it's been a minute, but as far as like how long I've been doing it, like ever in life, it's been years. And the thing is, like, for some reason for me, I'm not sure why I get comfortable, but I'll be doing really good. And then the symptoms that I notice, will go away. And then I'll get comfortable and then I'll just stop doing something. Like, for example, me taking my CBD like every day, because I'm a huge advocate of, or like CBD to me is like chef's kiss. But I just realized yesterday that I had not taken my CBD in like probably like a month or two. So it's like I'll really be going good, and then I'll forget about the symptoms that I experienced, and so I'll just stop doing the thing, and then those things come back, and I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot about that. I forgot that I was doing that. You know, life be life, and that's just what it is. You know, I'm human, but just being real with you, that's literally it. So, you know, I started again about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, and I'm praying that I can not stop doing this, because the benefits for me definitely far outweigh this one thing that I'm going to talk about later on. But so why? I started intermittent fasting this time and other times as well, because I just noticed this weight is like creeping up on me. Number one, it's like I'll be 50 in a couple of years. I want to say in a few years, you see that? But it's not, it's like, sis, it's not a few years anymore. It's not. Let it go. In a couple of years, I'll be 50. And I just noticed as of just late in the last few years, like the weight is waiting. Okay. The weight is like knocking on my door saying, hello, these pounds are here to stay. When you get older, apparently the metabolism just kind of starts getting all funky. And add that to like me just eating, man, your girl will be over here eating, not every single day, not every single time, but I have slowly started getting into this habit of like eating a lot of like candy. Like candy, let's just say sweets, that is like my downfall, y'all, real talk. So I would get real comfortable like eating a bunch of gummy bears, like ice cream and, you know, different things like that. Maybe not every day, but enough to where my body was just like, okay, you want to mess around and find out. You're going to learn today. So that was one of the reasons the weight was just like, you know, and I'm sure my hormones were out of whack. I can tell you that I know that my hormones were or are out of whack, because I didn't have a period for months. I didn't have a period for months. And I know it's because of just like the inflammation and other things going on with my body that are related to my eating. Okay. Again, your mileage may vary, but I'm just sharing what I know about my body, especially based on my history and what I'm learning, what I have learned at like doctor's appointments and things like that. And it's like, at some point, could I, you know, go on birth control? I just don't even want to. I would rather do my best to get it under control the natural way. I don't want to do birth control. I don't want to have a hysterectomy, because I feel like I want to keep my uterus. I want to keep my hyster. Okay. I don't want to have a hysterectomy. And so I'm like, okay, I have really got to get serious about this eating, because now I'm in a place when you're younger. Again, I know what I'm about to say doesn't apply to every single young person. Okay. But when you're younger, at least for me, I could eat anything that I freaking wanted to. Okay. I could eat anything that I wanted to. I didn't really have to worry too much about my weight, except for that one season where I went through my whole depression phase and I got up to 200 pounds. I talked about that on a previous episode. But generally speaking, I didn't have to really worry about it like that. I didn't really have any ill effects from eating like a lot of candy, drinking my favorite soda, Dr. Pepper, eating a lot of junk food and things like that. Like I didn't really have a lot of negative side effects from that, or so I thought, obviously. But you know, it catches up to you at some point. It really does catch up to you at some point. So man, if you're in your 20s, your 30s, probably even your early 30s, and you still like that, I'm like, you know, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm a little envious, but I'm happy for you. But be careful, because it will, in most cases, catch up with you at some point. All right. I just have to let you know that. But, you know, so enjoy it while you can. But if you can also like start working now to implement some healthy habits, it's never too late to start, by the way. Never too late to start. Like off topic a little bit, but I was reading an article on Ernie Hudson. You know, the dude from Ghostbusters, the black dude. That dude is, unless I'm mistaken, I could have sworn that article said he was 78 years old. That don't even sound right. Hold on a second. Alexa, how old is Ernie Hudson?
Ernie Hudson is 78 years old.
Listen, Ernie Hudson is 78 years old. I read an article, and this dude looks like he's in his late 50s, okay? His body, like he's clearly taking care of himself, and he's almost 80 years old, okay? His skin has a glow. He's got some muscle. Like, you can tell he works out. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't had help or he's not on, you know, taking different enhancers or things like that. I don't know this man. But clearly, at some basic level, he's taking care of himself. He even said he, like, rests as much as he can, you know, things like that. So I'm saying that to say it's never too late. It's never too late to start, all right? So if you're in your 50s and you're like, Brie, it's too late. No, it's not, sis. No, it's not. If you're in your 40s and you're like, oh, Brie, I can't. Yes, you can. It's not too late. I promise you, it's not too late. If you're in your 60s and you're like, ooh, I don't know. It's not too late. I promise you. Because we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. You might be 62 listening to this podcast right now and you live another 25 years. Then what? Okay. You might be 32 or 40. Let's say you're 45 and you're like, ooh, it's too late. What if you lived another 40 years? Then what? It's not too late, sis. I promise you. So yeah, I think I talked about the why. Let me talk about the how. Like, how do I do it? And kind of like, what do I eat and things like that. So I told you about my eating window. That's basically the how. I try to stick to 2 to 6, 3 to 7, somewhere in there. Like, for example, it's about 1 o'clock as of me recording this podcast. I have not had anything to eat as of yet, but once I'm done, I'll go to the kitchen and get my food party started. But yeah, so that's basically it. And I pick that time because, and you can pick what time works for you, by the way, if you want to give this a try, if you're thinking about it. I would even say, for starters, maybe you don't do a 20/4 window. Maybe you do like a 16/8. Okay, because your sleep time is included in that fasting. So if you're sleeping 6, 7, 8 hours, you're already almost halfway done. Okay, but start where you can. Start where you can. All right. If it makes sense for you to fast, for example, let's say your window is from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. or something like that. 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. You know what I mean? 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Like, do whatever makes sense for you. I prefer to do around 2 to 6 because I'm typically not hungry in the mornings for some reason, which is great because don't even get me started on breakfast. Something about breakfast, it just really, I don't know. I'm just not a breakfast person anymore. I used to love breakfast. I don't anymore. It just, I don't know. Something about it just doesn't sit well with me usually. So that's why the 2 to 6 was just a really good thing for me, because it's like I'm still kind of like have my foot in between both worlds. But definitely 6 or 7 for the most part is the cutoff, because I don't want to eat just an hour or 2 or even 3 before I go to bed. I don't want to eat so late, because I feel like when I do that, and maybe this doesn't make a difference, but for me, I just feel like eating so late in the evening can contribute to extra pounds on me. So, plus other problems too, like acid reflux is a possibility depending on what I eat. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, getting older is fun, right? Okay, so that's the how. I have my eating window. Again, you choose what makes sense for you. So like, what do I eat on a typical day? And also, do I do this every single day? Let's talk about that. So what I eat on a typical day, I really try my best to, if nothing else, I really try to get my protein in. But this is why my eating window is so quote unquote large, instead of like, for example, one meal a day, is because it just feels so sometimes so hard to get in all the, you know what I mean, in that window. So I really try to get my protein in. So on days when I'm feeling really like healthy is the way, I'll have like a really big salad. And in my salad, it could have, I could have made like, for example, some tuna with eggs or, Or maybe like a taco salad. So it'll be like ground beef or ground turkey. We eat a lot of ground turkey and not so much beef here in the house. So usually it's ground turkey, but sometimes ground beef or like chicken, you know, salad. And so, for example, in the turkey salad, again, these are pretty sizable. It might be obviously some shredded lettuce of some type. Of course, the ground turkey or the ground beef or chicken, if you do chicken or shrimp, you know what I mean? And then, of course, like tomatoes, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of sour cream, some salsa. I'm trying to think of what else I put in there. Sometimes I'll sprinkle a little tortilla chips on there just to give it a little bit of crunch or something like that. But that's what if I want to have like a taco salad type, or you know, you can put some beans in there. If I'm doing more like just like a tuna salad or like a quote unquote regular salad, then I'll add like cucumbers, bell peppers. What else? Sunflower seeds, some avocado, some eggs, if it's not tuna salad, some eggs, and that kind of stuff. And then instead of dressing, most times I will just maybe mix in a little bit of salt on the lettuce. I will sometimes put a little bit of avocado oil in there. Not olive oil. And then I will put a whole bunch of lemon juice on that. And it's so delicious. So that's when I'm having kind of like my salad days. Other days, it could be sometimes I might break the fast with a cup of bone broth. And I'll put my collagen powder in the bone broth. And it's so good. So that's giving me some protein there. And then, like, for example, the other day I did that. And then I made myself some quesadillas. So ground beef.
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Ways Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Ways Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Way Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Ways Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times. And stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
And a little bit of cheese and the tortilla. Other days, I'm trying to think of other things that I eat. It really just depends. Some days I'll have spaghetti, like I'll make spaghetti with meatballs. Just, you know, your mileage may vary. It just really depends. But I do eat a lot of salads. And so I'm not afraid to mix things up and just be like, okay, today I'm going to make my own pizza, which is very easy. I'll make flatbread pizzas. So what you do is you go and you get, you know, those flatbreads. I don't know the name of the company. I think it's like Stonefire, possibly. It comes in a red, I can see like a red label. I think it's called Stonefire. And you get like two flatbreads in that package, right? And that might be like $4. And then I will put a little cheese on there. Oh, excuse me, some a little bit of pizza sauce, a little bit of cheese, and then I'll put some pineapples on that. Stick that bad boy in the oven for about 375, and then stick that in the oven for like 15 minutes, and voila, I have a healthier pizza option than me going out and getting pizza or even getting a frozen pizza from the grocery store, because those have so much, like, the amount of sodium in food, in packaged food, in fast food, the amount of sugar in packaged food and fast food, you guys, is just absolutely insane. The amount of sugar in anything is absolutely insane. And I knew this, but I never really thought about it, like put extra thought into it. But I'm someone that eats like a lot of yogurt. And so the other day I went to get a yogurt out of the fridge and I was like, you know what? Let me just take a quick look. Y'all, this yogurt, this healthy yogurt had, I swear it had like 18 grams of sugar, and 10 of those grams was added sugar. So, you know, 18 grams of sugar in a small, what is it, like a 4 ounce or 5 ounce, probably 4 ounce container of yogurt? Insane. I was eating a lot of those, so I've slowed that down quite a bit. But I nothing is off the table when it comes to what I eat in my eating window. If some days I'm like, I really, like the other day we went out and had a great taco meal from this local like mom and pop taco place up the street. And I had like a fish taco and a potato taco, and I had some carnitas tacos and some chips and salsa. Like, you know, if I want to go to In-N-Out, because, you know, In-N-Out, I love In-N-Out, I'll get burger and fries or whatever. Sometimes protein style, sometimes not. So it's not like I'm limiting myself into this strict, you know, diet of what I can and cannot eat. I try to be very mindful and even kind of plan around what I want to eat, especially like, for example, I have this thing where for some reason I crave a donut maybe once a month. Not sure why. And so now my thing is at the end of each month, I can go get a donut if that's what I want to do. And if not, I don't have to. But that way it's just like giving myself grace to make this more of like a lifestyle change versus this very rigid, you can't have that. You da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? I don't want to eat that way. I don't want to have those kind of habits. I want to make smarter choices more often than not during my eating window. And then the other times, like if I want to just have whatever, I can have whatever. Okay. Because those are not the bulk of my daily eating habits, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. So hopefully that answers what I eat. As far as calories, I don't really count calories, but I kind of know what's in what. A lot of days I try to stick to maybe like 12 to 1400 calories per day on the days where I'm really just like, okay, I'm going to really make this a good eating day. So yeah, 12 to 1400 calories, but that's not an every single day type of situation. Again, your mileage may vary. And speaking of sugar, I obviously I'm not completely sugar free. Everything has sugar. I definitely have eliminated soda this year. So I haven't had any soda in 2024 as of this month, April. And the last time I went completely soda free was probably like, I think I did a year of no soda, maybe like 4 years ago. And it wasn't hard, but again, I realized that's just me. So I try to do things that are like quote unquote easy wins for me. You, if you're interested, would need to find what are easy wins for you. Maybe it's not soda. Maybe your thing is like always, I don't know, eating cupcakes or I don't even know, or always eating, I don't even know. Or your thing is like you like potato chips, for example, but they're not like high on the list of like must-haves. You know what I mean? So you're like, I can do a whole year no chips. You know what I mean? So just finding those kind of wins has been very beneficial for me on this intermittent fasting journey. But yeah, the sugar is in everything. The sugar is in everything. And it's just crazy. So yeah, the year, no soda this year is one thing. I still drink like juices on occasion, but not too often. But, you know, for example, when I do my coffee, I've cut back on the coffee because I realized, and I knew this already, but shocker, the creamers that I like to use obviously have a lot of sugar, especially depending on how much you're putting in your coffee. That's what I call coffee, coffee. So in my coffee, I will have coffee maybe two to three times a week. I'll make an allowance for coffee with my creamer because I enjoy that habit. I enjoy that ritual of making the coffee and sitting down and either having an iced coffee or a hot coffee, depending on the day, and just really relaxing with that and just taking a moment for myself. That is a part of my self-care routine. So I used to do it every day. Now I do not. So again, two times a week pretty much is where I am with the coffee. So I still enjoy it. I don't say that I can't have it, but I don't need to have it every day. So again, it's really about you finding the wins in your situation and what makes sense for you and what you feel like you can cut back on or reduce entirely. You know, last thing on sugar, like I know I'm doing well because I have a bag of gummy bears in my pantry, like those Haribo gummy bears, you know, the ones you get from Walgreens and the big, it's like a big bag or different size bags. It's like a yellow fun bag that every time I go into Walgreens, it's like, grab me, Brie, you know, you want some. So the last time I bought Haribo gummy bears was probably maybe like 2 months ago. Probably right around the time I started this intermittent fasting. So probably in February or March is the last time I bought those gummy bears. And I got the sizable bag and I did eat some. But then when I started my fast, maybe like whenever it was 8 weeks ago, I folded that bag and put it in the pantry. In the snack area. In the snack area, we have cookies. We have, what else is in there? What are those things called? What are those gummy things called? Fruit snacks. I love a good fruit snack. Like I said, sugar is like that's my crack cocaine. Okay. Sugar is crack, and crack is definitely not whack in this household or as it pertains to sugar. So I have like this little bowl that has like in the pantry where I put like the cookies and fruit snacks and those gummy bears, and it's a sizable bag of gummy bears. Haven't opened them since. I haven't. Haven't even been tempted, which is interesting. And in that same time, I've probably had one bag of fruit snacks, so I still have fruit snacks in there. And as far as the cookies, they were like, you know, the cookies that come in those multi-packs. So there's like four of the Oreos, four of the peanut butter cookies, four of the chocolate chips or something like that. So since I started fasting, I've probably had maybe one pack of cookies. I have had cookies, by the way, like the ones you put in the oven now that I'm thinking about it, but it It's only been a few. So, like, I feel like this intermittent fasting has worked so effectively, like, it's cut back on the cravings that I've had for the sugar, okay? So it's not, again, like, I can't have it. It's not like I'm telling myself, you can't have these things ever, because I can. That's why they're in the pantry, and they're probably going to be stale in a little while. But this intermittent fasting has helped me to cut back. Like, I don't like crave it anymore. So that's a really beautiful thing, because again, sugar is definitely an addiction. And these companies, they know that. Okay. These are the same companies that have their foods designed with scientists to make sure that when you get a hit of that food, like, you're getting that dopamine hit and things are just pop firing off, like, I want some more of that. So if you find that you've been struggling or like it's hard, listen, I get it, because it's a lot of stuff is created that way to be hard. Okay, it's a whole scam. The whole eating industry, like, is hand in hand with the medical industry. Like, it's all just like, it's, they're all in cahoots with each other. So that's why we have to be advocates for ourselves, right? So yeah, that my sugar desire has gone down quite a bit, and I'm really happy about that. So because for me, the sugar, and I know this is the cheese too, like, I really should, or I want to cut back on the cheese and the dairy, but I ain't there yet. But that sugar and the dairy and stuff are definitely, for me, they can cause inflammation. Like, for me, they go hand in hand. And inflammation obviously is not always a bad thing. It helps to protect our body, like when we're sick and, you know, things like that. But then it can go overboard. And that's when you're going to have these signs of, like, your body, it feels like your body, you're being attacked by your body. So for me, inflammation, like some signs of inflammation, in case you're wondering, it could be like depression, anxiety. I've had those are in my wheelhouse. My joints are like, I would have like pain from writing in my right hand. If I wrote in my journal for more than a page, I would have pain in like this area. Maybe this is like a carpal tunnel kind of thing. So that, like the joints might be a little achy. And you can have, like reflux based on what I've understand. You can have, diarrhea or gastrointestinal issues based on what I understand. You can have, those types of things. I'm sure much, much more. So for me, it was like the depression, the mood, anxiety, hurt, like pain in the wrists, those kind of things, just feeling achy and not good, because my body has been at war with, it wants to be healthy. I'm putting these things into it that are not healthy. I'm carrying around this extra weight that is not healthy for me. Keep in mind that I am 5'1"-ish. And apparently, based on the doctor's whatever, I should really be about 110 pounds, 115 pounds, somewhere in there. Sorry, but I'm a black woman. I don't want to be 110 pounds at 5'1". That's just me. I don't even think the booty would go anywhere. And the booty probably weighs 5 pounds by itself, at least. So it's like, I don't need to weigh 110 pounds. But I think a healthier weight for me is probably about 130, I would say. And so I'm about 40, 45 pounds shy of that as of this moment. I'm about one. Sorry, I don't know if this picks up. I had to pause for a fire truck or ambulance. I'm about 175 as of right now. Okay. So I'm just letting you know. And I know people are like, you don't look like. Yes, I am 175. Maybe because I'm not standing up, you can't see the boobs, the belly, the booty, the thighs, whatever. But yeah, I'm 175. And that is too much weight for me. I'm not telling you how much you should weigh. Do you, sis? Again, I'm just sharing a part of my healing and health journey and what's working for me and my thoughts on it, okay? So, but yeah, I'm too heavy for this weight. I'm too heavy for this the way my body is structured, okay? The way my bones are structured, I'm carrying around too much weight, and I feel it all the time. I feel it all the time. So anyway, inflammation, we talked about that. Now, let's talk about the things, like this is the last part, the things that I have noticed. Most of them are very good, but this one thing is just like, oh my God, Really? but it's actually a good thing, but it's still, it's just, oh God, it's so annoying. So what I've noticed with this intermittent fasting over the last couple of months, obviously you're probably thinking, have you lost any weight? That's probably the number one thing. Yes. Yes, I have. I have lost weight. I've lost, I would say if I'm 176, like 176 now, excuse me, I have lost, I've lost about 5 to 6 pounds in the last 2 months, I would say. Yeah, maybe like, maybe not. No. Hold on. Actually, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not sure. I can tell you that in the month of March, I lost 4 pounds, but that's when I started tracking. I didn't track in the first month. But I know I'm 100% positive that I lost weight, but I wasn't tracking. So I might have lost a total of, you know, 8 pounds in the last 2 months, but I'm not 100% positive because I wasn't really paying attention to that in the first month. I really started tracking in March. And so I lost 4 pounds in March, okay? So definitely the weight loss is there for sure. I'm losing probably about a half a pound to a pound per week, depending on, again, how I choose to eat in my window. Okay. Also, I feel like my skin is starting to clear up. It was never like quote unquote bad before, but I definitely feel like it's starting to glow a little bit more. I'm holding my eyes really big on YouTube, but I know on the podcast, you can't see this, but my eyes have started to clear up. They're starting to get whiter. Again, I don't crave that candy and that sugar like I definitely used to, like for sure, them gummy bears, red vines, different things like that, even having like ice cream regularly or popsicles, like I don't eat like that, you know, anymore. So those cravings have, my body has definitely shifted to not really needing or wanting to have that like every single day. Like I said, I have those gummy bears in the pantry that are untouched. So I'm just like, sis, this is the glow up. This is the growth for me. Okay. Because I would have killed that bag in no time. Okay. I would have killed that bag in no time. So I have to mention that again. So those are things that I've noticed. Obviously with the weight loss, I just feel better in my body. The energy is a little different. So intermittent fasting for me is definitely working. I see the changes. I really want this to be a lifestyle thing for me, for sure, because I can see all the benefits. But here is the slight, and it's not, I keep saying it's negative. It is a negative, but honestly, it's not, because I know that my body is, this is proof that my body is readjusting and healing and things like that. So one thing that has been a huge downer, ugh, is my period. So I have not had a period for several months. I'm not sure if I mentioned that before on the podcast, like just in this episode. I can't remember if I said that or not. So in case I didn't say that before, I'll say it again. I have not had a period for months. Now, I know that I am getting to an age where things are starting to happen with the body. So I know my hormones are hormoning, and I'm perimenopausal. Goodness, can I talk today? Perimenopausal, for sure. And I also know that because of my weight and everything else, like my hormones are just out of whack. So I hadn't had a period. I knew why. I knew what it was. Y'all, as soon as I started intermittent fasting, probably around week 3, I started to feel some things. I'm like, oh boy, I bet you that period's going to come back. And so the first month it didn't, but I, you know how you can tell, like there was a very little bit of like brown spotting. And then like that feeling, like for me, my period feels like the back pain, the uterus pain, like that kind of like the cramp, you know, cramps, that kind of thing. A little bit of like a lot of boob tenderness and stuff like that, but it never came. But I was like, oh boy, it's going to come and it's going to be a doozy. I already know it. Because I have heavy periods. I've dealt and am dealing with like fibroids. I've had fibroids removed, but then I'm eating the sugar and introducing those things and causing part of the problem. I should have mentioned that before. That's another reason why I do intermittent fasting, because I know that it's going to help me. Like, I'm scheduling a doctor's appointment very soon because I want to explore the possibility of having PCOS. But in the meantime, just eliminating these sugars and things like that is definitely another reason why, because I know how it affects my body when I'm speaking of inflammation, but like, again, the fibroids and things like that, right? So didn't have the period for several months. And in the month of March, I kept having those feelings like, oh, my period is really, like, things are definitely happening in my body. Y'all, I unleashed the period from hell. I have unleashed the period from hell, okay? Heavy period, some clotting. I'm sorry if that's TMI, but we're women here. This is grown folk conversation. This is real talk. This is what it is, okay? Some clotting, but just like heavy period. And then it would be a day of really nothing. And then it would come back again. So it's like, I know that my body is really trying to regulate and balance itself back now that I am getting some of this off of me, like the weight and the sugars and all that kind of stuff. So again, doctor's appointment is definitely in order, but I already know that's a big part of it. My body can now, I feel like it's now able to kind of start to function the way that it was designed to function. So it may take some time for that to kind of stabilize. So I'm dealing with that and with taking the iron and, you know, different things like that. But yeah, that's the only downside that I've had, is just like this period from hell. So I'm going to monitor it again, get in touch with a professional, things like that. But I know that's what it is. And the thing is, like I mentioned before, I don't want to do birth control. I don't want to have a hysterectomy. So I've really got to figure out what I can do in this journey that's going to make sense for me. So I'm reading and researching and things like that. But yeah, the period is definitely perioding now that I am intermittent fasting and eating better for my body. So I feel like I just said a whole bunch, but that is the story, Morning Glory. I think that's a country saying. What's the story, Morning Glory? Anyway, I'm just talking at this point, y'all. But that's the story. That has been my experience this year with intermittent fasting. It's definitely something I highly recommend if asked. This is something I would talk to you about. But again, keep in mind, like I mentioned before, many times it's all individual. It's all personal. You have to do what makes sense for you. You are the boss of your body. You are the expert on your body, how it feels, how it functions, how it does what it does, how, you know, like how you choose to eat, how you choose to treat it. Like, you're the boss of your body, okay? You are the boss of your body. But I just hope that me sharing this with you, in case you're on a similar journey or considering possibly changing some things up and trying intermittent fasting maybe once a week, you can do that every day of the week. Like, whatever makes sense for you, a couple of times a month, you do you, all right? You do you. That's basically the bottom line. But I'm a huge fan of intermittent fasting, and this will definitely be something that I will continue to come back to for the rest of my life. So that's that on that. All right, so that is it for this week's episode. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like and follow or subscribe or whatever they say at the end. I don't really know, but do those things if you want to continue to have access to these videos, or make sure that you go to iTunes or Spotify and catch the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. There you can like and subscribe there as well. If you like this episode and you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to leave a comment and let me know your thoughts and questions. There might even be a poll up there as well for you to answer if you are so inclined. And Yeah, if you just want to be in community with me, consider becoming a member on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/browngirlselfcare and become a paying member. I think it's $5 a month to start. If that's of interest to you, I do Bloom Rooms on Zoom on Sunday so we can be in community with each other. If that's something that you need, that's available to you. And I think that's literally all I've got. So I'm going to end it here. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and I look forward to connecting with you next Monday. Take care.